full of cabbage shells. I got a pocket full of cabbage shells. I got a pocket full of calories. Bless you for the estimate, the messages travel well. I got a pocket full of calories, shells. I got a pocket full of calories, shells. I got a pocket full of calories. Bless you, as you may the messages hit those. Stay composed through a pocket full of calories. Remember what the Babylon said to do. My signature old new, and you work so well. I prevail in situations I wasn't supposed to. The messages travel well. I'm just learning now. Pocket full of calorie shells. I'm blessed in an instant, it all makes sense. Putting shrines on the top of Black New World. Send my team man, which original. Extend the well, welcome to the crowd. It's been a while. Bless you for the S, you made the messages travel well. I got a pocket full of calorie shells. I got a pocket full of calorie shells. I got a pocket full of calories. Bless you for the S, you made the messages travel well. Calories,
hood rich, a soft suit, eloquent lyricist, a mental loop. On an extreme legit, I be the best that it get. A soft spitter, get your news, was a home run hitter. When the end comes, bury me on the front line. Let all my people come and do a second line. And when I come back, make me a warrior again. Spread my ashes from ghetto rooftops. Say my name in the hood. Tell them I was baptized. And every black tear ever cried, I lived to inspire. And I could never be fueled for the fire.
I've been full of calorie shells.
Bless you for the S, you made the messages travel well. I got a pocket full of calorie shells.
Good morning and welcome to Wanda's Picks, a Black Arts and Culture program with the African Sisters Media Network. We're listening to Wolf Hawk Jaguar, Cowrie Shells.
Bridging the gap that with the lips broke for future sons and daughters. You're gonna be the largest, cause you already is. About to lie back, but shed the old skin. Make your brand new, but you already know. The old dude came with your birth, but you forgot it. If I present the keys and then unlock it. Whatever you do, man, believe in yourself. Cowries is the old world sign of wealth. Keep them in my pocket, stash on my shelf. They're at her when I walk, plus I rock nine bells. It's just rock thesis. I say I rock well, throwing calories in the crowd. A lot, a mile. Bless you for the S, you made the messages travel well. I got a pocket full of calorie shells. I got a pocket full of calorie shells. I got a pocket full of calories. Bless you for the S, you made the messages travel well. I got a pocket full of calorie shells. I got a pocket full of calorie shells. I got a pocket full of calories.
Pocket full of calorie shells. You need to rattle it and keep the energy moving. And I wanted to let you know that there are a couple of things happening this weekend. Really powerful, powerful gatherings. The first one I'm going to mention is All of Us and None and Legal Services for Prisoners with Children are hosting the formerly incarcerated and convicted People's Western Regional Conference. It's going to be a two-day conference convening on September 20th, which is Sunday, and September 21st from 9 to 5 at Oak Stop, located at 1721 Broadway in Oakland, California. It's on the BART route. You can just get off downtown and right there. You can, I think 19th Street Station is very, very close. You can just come up on Broadway and just cross the street. This will be a space where formerly incarcerated people, family members, allies, community, and spiritual leaders, government employees, and elected officials will come together to work towards ending mass incarceration, over-criminalization, and the second-class status of people with criminal records. They will also, at this conference, discuss and analyze how structural oppression drives the dominant paradigm regarding formerly incarcerated and convicted people and how we can change this thinking. The first day of the conference will be a traditional format with panels and community members sharing information regarding the problems faced by the communities most impacted by mass incarceration. Panels will focus on ban the box issues, housing, employment, education, family unity, and more. The conveners will, Oliver Sanon and Legal Services for Prisons with Children, will come up with, and those gathered, will come with specific policy recommendations that they can work to achieve locally as well as nationally. The second day will be set up as a Peace and Justice Summit. Panels of experts from our communities will testify before a body of people. Oliver Sanon and Legal Services for Prisons with Children are calling Active Listening Panel. The purpose of this testimony is to give the active listening panel information about incarcerated and formerly incarcerated people's need. The active listening panel is made up of community and spiritual leaders, government employees, and elected officials. The active listeners are people that Oliver Sanon and Legal Services for Prisons with Children and others are people we trust to help us move forward with our recommendations, and many of them are already working to end mass incarceration and the debilitating effect it has had on our communities. So the event is free, and you can register at Eventbrite. Just go visit Legal Services for Prisoners with Children website, and or actually it's prisonerswithchildren.org to register so that folks will know you're coming. And another event that's happening, want to let you know about today. One of our political prisoners is going to be speaking today at UC Berkeley at 4 o'clock. The doors open and the event starts at 5 and goes to 8. And it's in the Evans. It's Sekou Odinga. He's going to be speaking. Sekou Abdullah Odinga. Grew up in Jamaica, Queens, New York, in a family of nine. His husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather. He was inspired by the revolutionary principles of Malcolm X when he joined the Organization for Afro-American Unity, followed later by the Black Panther Party and Black Liberation Army. He is a Muslim, a citizen of the Republic of New Africa, and for 33 years he was a U.S.-held political prisoner of war. In 2009, Sekou Abdullah Odinga reached his mandatory release date for his federal conviction in connection with the liberation of Assata Shakur, who is in exile in Cuba presently. And he was paroled to the New York State prison system. After 5 years, he won a parole hearing and was released from parole on November 25, 2014, from the New York State sentence. So he will be speaking at UC Berkeley, in Evans Hall, room 10, the Green Building, north end, close to Campanile Tower. So this is going to be really wonderful. And so wanted to let you know about that. And we are going to be playing an interview from the archives. Got to figure out which one is calling me. I'm not certain. Oh, and also want to remind people about the event in San Francisco for children and their families, particularly those that are underrepresented with regards to scholarship in higher education. Thomas Simpson was on our show talking about the event. Let me read it to you. Black Family Cradle to College and Career Day event and I want to give you those details. Case you're in the Bay Area and you want to go check it out, it's going to be really, really good. Let's see, a lot of great workshops, Thinking and Tinkering, Preparing Your Child for College, Starts at Birth. And it's going to be at Mission High School in San Francisco. Explosion, Have a Reaction, is going to be a chemistry a workshop where young people are going to be doing a chemistry experiment. We're blowing up ads to the excitement. it's this experience, a type of fifth grade science lesson that lets you use and develop 21st century learning skills. That sounds fun. Every Shut Eye Ain't Sleep, The Role of Families in Fostering School Success is another workshop. A to G, preparing our children for college and careers. Money for college, funding the dreams of our African-American youth. And then the one that Thomas Simpson is going to be facilitating, and Black Lives Matter, empowering our youth to have positive engagement with police. And there will actually be police participating in the workshop as well. So anyway, it's going to be really, really great. So again, the event is called My Brothers and Sisters Keepers, San Francisco Unified School District's Black Family Cradle to College and Career Day Resource Fair, and it is September 19th at Mission High School. Mission High School is located at 3750 18th Street in San Francisco, and the event, the Black Family Cradle to College and Career Day Resource Fair, is from 9:30 in the morning to 3 p.m., and it is a free event, and they're going to be giving away computers. So it's like, oh, that is wonderful. So I wanted to let you know about that as well. Okay, so let me see. Which one of my wonderful interviews am I going to rebroadcast for you this morning? Let's see. We've had so many great interviews. My goodness. I almost feel like broadcasting the public testimony from the legislative hearing on the secured housing units. You know, recently our brothers and sisters had a victory there with regards to the secured housing units at Pelican Bay, where the hunger strike went on for at least a couple of years. And this particular, the legislative hearing, was on August 23rd, 2011. And recently, as of last month, there was a settlement and a victory certainly for human rights, in that people will not be able to, prisoners will not be able to be held in the SHU for indefinite sentences. And there has to be evidence, not just word of mouth and flimsy procedural types of policies that have locked up men in the SHU, you know, for 10, 20, 30 years. So that is no longer legal. And so that is excellent. I don't know. I think I'm sort of feeling like broadcasting this, the public testimony legislative hearing, so just so you could hear how horrendous it was and has been for those locked up in the SHU.
She'll give you a 30-second warning. If you don't need to go beyond a minute, I think that would be appropriate. Remember, we're going to have more hearings on more specific issues. So please proceed, Sheriff. Go ahead.
Senator DiAmato and the distinguished panelists, first I want to thank you on behalf of the prisoners for the urgent call to look at the torturous conditions that they've been living on for, as the panel testified, for decades. My name is Luis Garcia. I'm a member of support group of Pelican Bay prisoners. We're a group of friends and family members, and our name is the Senate Select Community Committee on California's Correctional System, and I'm also a member of the Santa Monica Group of Dolores Mission, part of the Catholic Detention Ministry. Families of Incarcerated Program, where we have a mass once a month, and we have a mass for the families and the prisoners, and we have a support group. I have two questions. The first one, and the two questions are for the purpose of your policy review, to request that you review, first of all, the hunger strikers want to know how long it's going to take to accede to the five demands to be put in writing. And last question, the disingenuous behavior of the negotiators, including the prisoner just testified, when he tells the prisoners that it would only take 2 to 3 weeks to institutionalize the five demands that apparently the Department of Corrections granted to the
prisoners. All right, let's see what happens. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jen Laskin, and I'm a member of the Pajaro Valley Federation of Teachers. We're a local of the California Federation of Teachers. We represent over 120,000 teachers, psychologists, counselors across the state. And I was also a core marcher in the March for California's Future. We did a 48-day march to bring attention to the cuts to public education, public services in the state of California. And aside from the fact that the CDCR segregates all inmates based on gang affiliation upon entry into the prisons, we believe a root cause of gang issues and violence is indeed poverty. Spending $56,000 a year per inmate, $6,000 a year per K-12 student exasperates the problem, among other things. It's public policy and the misallocation of resources to expensive prison guard contracts and the prison bureaucracy that's also a cause of the increased violence. And I'm here to present a letter to you signed by the Executive Council of my local, representing over 1,100 teachers, counselors, and psychologists in Santa Cruz County. This letter supports and validates our support for expanded educational program in the SHU. We believe that the cuts to public services exasperate the school-to-prison pipeline, and I just want you to know that you have the support of the Teachers Union, the California Federation of Teachers, the Pajaro Valley Federation of Teachers, and anything we can do to support you. Thank you for having this hearing.
Okay, who do I get this? All right, next speaker, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Julie Tackett, and my loved one, Brian, has been in solitary confinement at Pelican Bay in the short corridor for 16 years. Brian was willing to go to the length of the hunger strike as a form of peaceful protest in an effort to shine a light on the conditions at the Pelican Bay SHU. All documents related to these statements and Brian's identity will be provided upon request. These are Brian's words. Prepared for today's hearing, please allow my brief statement be Brian's voice. This is what he said about how he got into solitary confinement. I take full personal responsibility for being a young, violent prisoner who got myself thrown into the SHU. I make no excuses, nor do I try to blame others or justify my actions. But it has to be recognized that my validation as a gang member was based solely on the confidential debriefing reports of inmates who could no longer continue to suffer under these conditions of perpetual isolation in solitary confinement. There is no individual accountability under the current CDCR policies. I have now been in solitary confinement for over a decade, not based on CDCR rules violation, but rather on a false label put upon myself by inmate informants broken under SHU conditions. Now, in the ultimate form of group punishment, I am to be housed in solitary confinement. 30 seconds. I have a final request of Brian. He asked for a meaningful way to program out of the SHU, a fair shake to prove I'm no longer that 25-year-old, but a 38-year-old man who is far more wiser and more mature. We are at the mercy of CDCR's closed system. Thank you for your time, and I pray we will come to see some type of productive changes. And thank you for listening
to
Brian.
Good afternoon. My name is Virginia Gutierrez Brown. My husband is housed in the Pelican Bay SHU, and he's been there since the prison first opened in 1989. That's 22 years, and all of them in the SHU. That should be unheard of in the United States of America, but unfortunately, it's not. He hasn't been allowed to get any sunlight, walk outside, or have his picture taken in those 22 years. As of recent, he also cannot even have a wall calendar or drawing paper. Those were taken away, and when asked why, the answer is always for the safety and security of the prison. Our visits are only 2 hours long, yet the prison is far from anywhere, located just 20 miles from the Oregon border. We can't hold hands during visits like other inmates and their wives, as our visits are behind glass. All of this excessive punishment is because he has been labeled an associate of a gang. He has been labeled this without any evidence of such, only by speculation and accusations of unknown informants. He doesn't have the right to confront any accusers and is judged and sentenced solely by prison staff. Prison staff can do this as they are not held accountable in a court of law and are free to condemn inmates to the SHU for an indeterminate sentence at will.
Okay, ma'am, thank you. Next speaker, please.
My name is James Harris. I'm a member of the Social Workers Party. I live in Los Angeles. It's obvious that the SHU is unusual and cruel punishment and should be abolished. It's almost absurd to argue about that fact when you can see the conditions that people are kept under. The thing that I wanted to stress the most is that the SHU is not primarily or even essentially about gang activity, no more than the war on drugs is about a war on drugs. These are fakeries. What the war on drugs is about, what the SHU is about, are the same thing. They're attacks upon the working class in this country as a whole, and they are meant to terrorize us. That is what's behind their arbitrary and bizarre application, that they're meant to terrorize us out of activity and put fear into our hearts. I applaud the people that are here today, that are standing up to a system that will carry out like they're doing to people in the SHU. And one last thing to show that these prisoners are not just victims, but they're capable of organizing themselves to fight.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Thank you, Gail Brown with Life Support Alliance. We've been in to see many of the members here in the committee to talk about the timely parole for lifer inmates. Mr. Carbone touched upon the fact that these inmates in the SHU really have trouble being able to meet the criteria that the board is putting in front of them to be eligible for parole. We'd like to have you look at that. We'd also like to see that stakeholders include many of those that were in the groups that came to talk to you today. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, thank you for giving me a chance to speak. My name is Harriet. My brother-in-law has been in the SHU for 25 years. He was at San Quentin and often had family visits, and he was moved to Folsom, and when he was moved, he was in the hole. And I just tell you even now, I'm not quite sure. It was some piece of contraband that he had. He was wrong, and to be punished was to be fined. But then they sent him to Pelican Bay, and he's been there for over 20 years in the SHU. So I say this, if he is a gang member or was a gang member, what can he do in the SHU? He's 65 years old. What possibly could he continue to be doing as gang activity when he's locked up 24 hours a day? How could he still be a gang member? People that were in the gang are alleged to be are gone. Or, you know, what can a 65-year-old man still be doing? So the people that said that he was a gang member and because he won't debrief, what other way does he have a chance to get out? His children are grown, his mother is dead, and just be a part of having his family. Just a chance. Thank you.
My name is Manuel Lafontaine. I'm a former prisoner. And, you know, CDC has been framing this gang the worst of the worst. And what they're framing is justification. They're framing a smokescreen for them to get away with inhumanity. I just heard about a report or something going on where they were going around with the media, went and speak to people, and someone said that the SHU was like a 5-star hotel. And you know what? The reality is that the SHU is not that. Something that helped me change my destructive madness when I was inside, when I was labeled with gang members, and an altercation, the guards beat me up. And one thing they told me that I'll never forget, and I appreciate them telling that, is we're the gang. That North and South is not going to play in our house. We are the gang, and you're going to follow our rules. That helped me at least become conscious of what was going on, and that's what's going on inside. In fact, I'm going to ask a question, two questions. First of all, The fact that we can label somebody, allow us to torture people, to be placed under inhumane conditions in a 6x10 concrete chamber with no access to sunlight. And the last question I have, if we really believe in rehabilitation and CDC wants to really apply the last part, the rehabilitation aspect, how does the rehabilitation play in CDCR? Thank you.
Hi, my name is Amber, and my brother's been in Pelican Bay too for the last 10 years. As a family member, I'm committed to have my voice heard for the sake of all the prisoners. These inmates were prepared to lose their lives in order to expose the injustice that goes on behind our prison walls. The solitary confinement was never designed to house someone the entire duration of their sentence. In fact, studies have shown that long-term solitary confinement can lead to severe mental issues and complications. However, the majority of the men being held in the SHU have gone over a decade without sunlight, human contact, religious or educational services, and below par medical attention. CDC expects these men to be rehabilitated. I beg to differ. CDC would rather house these men in the SHU because, like it or not, SHU programs are money-making machines. SHU inmates cost taxpayers double the amount to house on a yearly basis than those in general population. SHU inmates require 3 to 4 guards per inmate. Therefore, this creates job security for the biggest, most influential union in California, and that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
We've gathered here today demanding that change occur, and I leave you with these words from Maria Robinson. Nobody can go back and start a new beginning, but anyone can start today and make a new ending.
Thank you.
My name is G2 Sadiki. I have a prepared statement that I would like to share with the body as best possible, and just summarize my statement. First, I'd like to say that the gentleman up here, Mr. Kernan, the things that he talked about, there's a huge disconnect between what he said and what actually occurs in the SHU program.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a former SHU prisoner. I spent 4 years in the SHU in the 1970s. And had it not been for the current governor, who was governor at that time, I would still be in the SHU. The things that people talk about, I've experienced the extraction from a cell where you have 6-7 guards lined up behind a 6-plate plexiglass shield, rush your cell and beat you down. These are things I've experienced firsthand. These men don't have the opportunity to speak for themselves. These men have been demonized and dehumanized. They have the opportunity to be able to come home and do some things I've done. This is my baby right here. I've raised my children. I have 3 children. I'm a single father. I've had an opportunity to raise my children. They talk about using the boogie word of gangs, of being a prison gang. I was classified as a prison gang member. I've been subjected to SSU. I don't know if you're familiar with that. We're the paramilitary force that works in conjunction with CDC. I've had guns put to my head as part of a parole search and had my mother watch me while I could have my head blown off. The sum total of the crime I was charged with was being at my sister's house, which was defined as a clandestine residence, and arrested for a cheerleading. The thing that they talked about, you talked about him being apologized. You talked about him, the man was deceptive. I know these things firsthand. These men, a lot of the men that are in the SHU in Pelican Bay now, started with me in the 1970s. They have consistently been in the SHU for over 30 years. Unless you have the courage to really look at them, when you talk about gang members, go talk to them. Go talk to those individuals who they are staying in prison gang members.
Thank you.
My name is Carol Travis. I'm the chair of the Mount Diablo Peace and Justice Center in Walnut Creek. I had the privilege to go to Pelican Bay last week and interview 7 prisoners in the SHU. And the emotional experience was profound and surprising to me. These individuals were incredible people who taught me a lot about humanity and suffering and dignity. I support the 5 demands, as was said in the panel. They make sense. It is barbaric to keep people for years for indeterminate sentences in isolation. These people don't often see people's faces. One of the people I visited have not had a visit since 1989. A elegant, graceful, warm human being. I bring to you a couple of things that are different kinds of demands that are very simple. They would like to have a picture taken of them once a year and sent to either a friend or a relative. Many of them, their family has not seen what they have looked like in decades. They would like more than one box a year of things that they can buy through a special vendor of more than 30 pounds. That's a ridiculous limit. They want vendors that have some fresh, nutritious food, not just junk. They need the proctors so that they can take the exams off of the courses they're taking by television. They would like some mental health videos on the television, including ways to meditate or something to help them. They need some more serious mental health people there.
Thank you.
One more thing is the Lucifer effect. Check into that book. It was written by a Stanford professor, and it has some frightening conclusions about incarceration and the importance of outside oversight.
My name is Dolores Canales, and I have a son that's been in the shoe 10 years, and I know that if change doesn't take place now, he'll be sitting in there for the next 20 and 30 years, just like most of these family members that I've met with loved ones in there this long. But one thing I want to touch on is what Scott Kernan said, that the reason they're in shoe is because they're the generals, and they're the ones that have all the guards stabbed and all the inmates stabbed. And if that's how they choose, if that's their way of thinking, then why did they just conduct a hunger strike, willing to risk their own life, where they were the only ones that suffered on a daily basis, suffering hunger, in a nonviolent demonstration that spread across California prisons, that over thousands and thousands of men were involved in this peaceful demonstration, crossing all racial lines. It's because they are human beings, and they do have dignity, and they want to be heard as human beings, not as generals.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Lisa Headline, and I have two brothers in the shoe at Pelican Bay. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about why my one brother was validated. He received 1 point for working out with somebody that the prison labels a gang member, but that other person was housed in the same unit as my brother. So how can they house my brother with other gang members if they're just going to turn around and punish them for doing day-to-day activities with them? Mm-hmm. I don't see how that's legal.
Thank you.
My name is Azadeh Zarabi, and I have a brother in Corcoran Shoe, and I also wanted to talk a little bit more about how people are ending up in the shoes and why they're being validated as gang members. My brother is not a gang member. He's never been found guilty of any gang activity. What he was validated for was a book written by George Jackson, which is an international bestseller, and which was assigned to me in my undergraduate studies at UC Riverside. It was required for me to read this book before I graduated. Another source item was an article that he had written regarding black culture. And the third source item was a photocopy of another book that he had regarding black culture, which had the name of a validated gang member written on there. Nobody that's validated has any way of knowing who the other validated gang members are. So there's no notice for people to know who they can and cannot associate with. And they're being validated based on these reasons. The things that he got, the source items that they used to validate him, are items that would not be uncommon for me to have in my bag on any given day. I'm a third-year law student at one of the top law schools in the country, and I've been researching this from a legal perspective and dealing with it from a personal perspective. And it doesn't take anyone that's well-versed in the law to know, just off of reviewing the validation packages, that there's fundamental violations of the First Amendment, of due process, of equal protection. If any member, anyone else in the prison that was not a black man was held these same materials, they wouldn't be validated. Just solely because there is a black man and he has items related to black culture and maybe black ideology, he's being validated and placed in the shoe indeterminately. And this needs to be changed. And I would respectfully ask members of the legislature to actually go and look at the validation packages. I'm sure that if you review some of them, you would be appalled by what you see.
I'd like to ask, how could there not be an appeal process for this gang validation, especially when a lot of them are still there for years and years? This is like their only way of fighting. And I like to connect the gang validation with the gang database here in California and how easily you could get placed into this database. Just like he explained about the 3 points in the gang database is similar for the attire. If it's like a, you know, hip hop attire, your short hair, you live in a gang infested community. Just those 3 points, you could imagine how many young people fall into that gang database category. And this is one of the connections where he explained that the outside points is a point they use to put people in the shoe. So I want to make that connection and also make the connection about the gang junctions exit strategy that was won in LA County. So now there is a way to get out, but the process is still hectic. But the simple fact that there's a way to get out and it's so easy to get in, it's to me like, why isn't there an appeal process? It's like, it should have been like, it should have been hand in hand. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Delphine Brody. I'm the policy director at the California Network of Mental Health Clients. We have 1,900 members across California. Mental health clients and people who experience mental health challenges often find ourselves in the criminal justice system, and the conditions in the shoes and other ed units are so deleterious to our mental health and physical health that many more people experience mental health issues during their incarceration and in the community following their release, when and if they're paroled. The California Network believes in wellness, recovery, and rehabilitation. We support the 5 demands of the hunger strikers and the recommendations of the 3rd panel this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Deborah Mendoza, and I'm a former Alameda County probation officer for 10 years. I also come back from Ventura Youth Facility, where we had a protest this Sunday with the same demand, asking for an end of use of solitary confinement, use of violence, and food as punishment. Those were our demands at the youth prison this weekend, which are parallel to the demands here today, so I just want to echo that. And I just want to say, if members of the legislature here, if you're not compelled by the stories today, I don't know what would move you, because you are our representatives. We're hearing of people who've been in solitary confinement for 2 decades and labeled gang members and have an indeterminate sentence. If that doesn't compel you to act, I don't know what would. So I just come here on behalf of people who have no voice. And so you are our link, and so I just basically feel that it is your duty to do something about this immediately. And I would just demand the release of PJ today.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Lisa Marie Alatori. I'm a resident of Oakland, California, and an organizer with Critical Resistance. I want to first thank the leadership of the Assembly Public Safety Committee for holding this hearing and bringing to light the issue at hand, the issue of conditions of torture at the shoes. And it seems clear that this is a concrete indicator of the conditions of imprisonment throughout the entire prison system, especially given the way that the strike spread throughout the prison system. As a leader in the nation of mass imprisonment, as the center of international attention because of the strike, because of overcrowding and unconstitutional health care, it is absolutely imperative that the California legislature take long-term, broad-based action. Our prison crisis sweeps from the torture of Pelican Bay to the threat of shifting the torture of overcrowding to our county jails. We, the people and residents of California, not only the ones that are here today from San Diego, from Crescent City, from everywhere else across the state, but through public opinion poll after public opinion poll, we are making it really clear that we want changes to the prison system. We want our loved ones and our family members to come home, and we want services to support them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Carol Strickman. I'm a staff attorney with Legal Services for Prisoners with Children as part of the coalition to support the hunger strikers. I just want to speak very briefly about health care. We've heard many reports from prisoners up in Pelican Bay who told us that they are told by the health care providers, if you want good medical care, debrief. health care, the withholding of reasonable medical care is part of the coercion that is attempting to get these guys to debrief. And that really is wrong and has to stop. I have brought copies of letters of support for and concern about health care issues from the Prisoner Health Committee of the American Public Health Association, and a second law petition with a number of signatures of individuals, and a third one of the International Health Workers for People Over Profit. I'd like to, I have seven copies to give to the committee members. Thank you. My second quick point is we're hoping that this hearing will encourage the legislators and or their staff to go up to Pelican Bay, Corcoran, other prisons where there are SHUs, and interview not just the debriefers, not just the people that the CDCR would have you talk to, but talk to a wider cross-section, including people who were on hunger strike and have been in solitary for a very long time, and people in the short corridor.
Thank you.
It needs to be done. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Karen Shane. I'm Policy Director of Legal Services for Prisoners with Children, and mainly I'm here to introduce myself to you because we are committed to making these changes happen, and we would like to work with each one of you to come up with legislation that can actually make a difference. It's interesting, I've been doing this for a long time, and the biggest changes that I've seen happen as quickly as they did in under CDCR was in this last period of time when 6,600 people in these California prisons stopped eating in order to get your attention. Mm. We are so proud of them, and we are so thankful to them, because finally we're at a point where we're having these hearings, and we are deeply committed to making something happen. So I'll be seeing you during this next legislative session.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Delisa Hayden, and I'm a concerned mother. My son has just been validated. I saw him Saturday, and he said that he is awaiting to be transferred to the SHU. And he was validated while not even at the prison. He had been out at court in Southern California for 17 months. They validated him while he was not even there. And his previous behavior, he had a job. He was he had college courses that he was taking that I was paying for and providing. He also was a MAC rep. His captain said that, you know, all of the other officers there knew his reputation. He was called the peacekeeper. And now he's facing a SHU sentence. And after listening to these people, I had no idea what the SHU, what my son, what our family had to look forward to. Mm. And I am brokenhearted. Mm. And if you don't help us to correct some of these things, my son said that a young man in the cell next to him had gotten a book off of a cart that they had distributed to him, and it had somebody else's name on there that was validated or that was some kind of shot caller, and they validated that young man. You know, so these things that they're saying about how they're not validating people just on, you know, general principles, they have to be shot callers. My son even asked, he gave a list of 16 correctional officers, captains, sergeants, and everything. And they said that they were going to take have an investigator get statements for them. They never did it. They never did it.
How you doing? My name is Jack Bryson. I'm from the Officer Grant Movement. I'm pleading with you, please do not believe what that man was saying, because he keeps mentioning gangs, but what he's not mentioning, the two biggest gangs in California is the police union and the correctional officer union. Those are the two biggest gangs. They say three or more is a gang, but these officers run around and with guns, you know. Man, it's a shame that these young men all over the world, the United States or California, what they're going through to be in the SHU. I go visit a young man on death row, and me going to death row is like a nightmare just to visit him. I go in his cell, and I get a panic attack. His name is Kevin Cooper. And what I take for granted is the sun, the stars, and the sea. And when Kevin, he's an artist, and whenever he draws about the sun, the stars, the seas, And I asked him, why do you draw that? He said, because I've been in this death row for 24 years. I've never seen the sunlight in the last 24 years. I've never seen the moon. I've never seen the stars. And that's things that we take for granted. So I ask you, just please look into this. You know, this really has to be addressed. Thank you. Thank you.
My name is Martha, and I have a brother that I can't even say his name because I'm afraid of what CDC can make to them.
Right.
I just want to tell you that my mother died 2 years ago. He was 14 years in Pelican Bay, and they only gave us 10 minutes to tell him that my mother was dead. And another thing that I want to say is, please, one of the five demands is a phone call. I haven't talked to my brother since my mom died. And I haven't seen my brother's face in 14 years. My kids, you know, love him because we talk about him. But we really need that connection between family and prison so they can have another chance. And also I want to say thank you to Ms. Holly and Nancy, because I'm sorry, but I really enjoyed to see Mr. Kernan's face, you know, in front of people that are about him.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Meredith Drennan, and my son is in the SHU at Pelican Bay, and I haven't seen him in 5 years. I've tried. They find strange reasons to come up with why I don't qualify for a visit. And I don't want to go on about the other things that I've already witnessed through him that I know to be true, that everyone else has stated, including the astute staff here that came in to speak. But what I'm looking to is not as politicians, but as just human beings, to look into your heart and see that what is happening in our country and in this state is so beyond belief that the public needs to understand that this is really happening, and you can be the vanguard for change and social consciousness to bring about some change so that we can have a state that we can be, say, we're proud of, at least as far as lawmaking capacity and what have you. And I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Marie Levin. I am the sister to a Pelican Bay SHU person. My brother has been incarcerated for some time, but he's been in the SHU for 19 years. And it's only by the grace of God that he is not insane. He holds on to the memory of us, his family. My sister, who he tried for years, he was compatible with her. She needed a kidney. He tried for years in 06 to get approved to leave, to come get his kidney. But they didn't let him because they said that he was in the SHU. She died last year. And then my mom has dementia caused by stress. My mom is now has dementia. There were a number of stresses, but he being for 30 years locked up has been a long time stress of hers, of wanting him to come home. So I'm pleading for the injustices of the SHU to be taken care of so that my brother can one day come home. He should have been home.
Thank
the
you.
Other two people were there. They got out. He's still locked up, and it wasn't gang-related. It's like someone else said about the books. He sent literature to us to read, and he's locked up because of a book.
Thank you.
My name is Marilyn Smith, and I am a proud member of All of Us or None. I am a formerly incarcerated person. What their CDC is saying is to cover themselves.
because being inside and then becoming a productive citizen, you really know how unjust things are once you've done that time. I'm asking each and every one of you to please not only just look at what's happening here, but what we do here in California will make a world impact to stop this torture, because that's what it is throughout the country. And not only just that, when our president came to becoming a presidency, he said he would start change and basically working on torture. If that's the case, then we need to work right here in this legislature of how can we change the shoe conditions of these people, of how they really treat us. They treat us like we are not human beings, and I am a female. Everyone else we've talked about, we're talking about the men's prisons. What about the women's prisons as well? It's not one above the other. They're both prisons. And you got to look at it. Not just California has done this hunger strike, but other prisons throughout the United States, because my daughter did 7 years in Des Moines, Iowa, which is only 6% black in the whole state. So if these other people are going and putting their lives on the line as a hunger strike to let people know that, hey, we're dying in here anyway, so why not just do it by our own hand? Well, then that's something to really look at, that I don't think nobody wants to be incarcerated then have to think about their guards and then whether they can sleep or not, not talking about the rapes that happen to us women in prison also.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Bud Case. I want to talk to you today about Hugo Pinnell. Hugo Pinnell is the only surviving member of the San Quentin Six that still remain in prison. Every one of us got out except for him. Why are they keeping him in the shoe? He been locked in the shoe since 79, he's been locked in the shoe. Our trial ended in 1976. I got it wrong, folks. 1969, he'd been locked in the shoe. Our trial ended in 1976. Hugo was convicted of assault. He's still in there, and he's in the shoe of all places. He hasn't had a write-up for over 30 years. Why are they holding him? He's 66 years old. I mean, this brother, we became political while we were inside. We changed our life. We dedicated ourselves to serving the people.
Thank you.
I just want to say, Hugo Pinnell deserves to have a real chance at freedom, and he deserved to be taken out of the shoe.
Yeah.
That's no way to force a man to live his life.
Yeah.
That's an inhumane.
Thank you.
Free Hugo Pinnell.
Hi, my name's Elizabeth. My loved one just got validated this April. The 3 points, wine literature, points, cultural drawing, points, an informant who did not himself want to be in the shoe. Point. I don't want him to be in the shoe 30 plus years. Make it right for those who have been, and so that he doesn't have to go through that because of a drawing or an informant who he himself did not want to be in the shoe.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Michelle Shadell. I'm with the Answer Coalition, and we support the 5 demands of the hunger strikers because it's the human rights situation. Their rights are being violated, which you've seen so much in the testimonies already today. And I'm concerned with two of the points that the CDCR had put forth today. One of them was that they need to house inmates in the shoes because they need to separate them from general populace to prevent gang violence. Yet Mr. Kerman's testimony completely left out the role that prison guards actively play in increasing gang violence within the system,
mm-hmm.
whether it be housing non-gang members with other gang members to give them that gang affiliation status, or to directly put rival gang members in the same cell, knowing farewell that they have a fight to kill order on each other. They're, like the brother said earlier, the prison guards are the actual biggest gang in these systems. And the second concern is when Mr. Kerman has said they don't want to let the media in because they don't want to provide the prisoners
with a way to sensationalize their case, and that's wrong on two accounts. First of all, if there's any unfair proceeding that had happened to get them in there, they should have the full access of the media to put their case back to the public. And secondly, Officer Johannes Meserle, that murdered Oscar Grant, was given full access to the media during his trial and during his sentencing, which I have never seen any inmate, especially an inmate of color, ever have that
from
the media.
Yeah,
thank you.
My name is Ann Wiles. I'm a civil rights attorney from Oakland, and we in Oakland have been involved in a fight against this attempt by our OPD to impose a gang injunction on our children and our young people. And you're talking it now, they're trying to validate people that are 12 years old. So it's a pipeline to the California prisons and causes the shoe. I want to thank, Mr. Almiano and Ms. Mitchell and Skinner and Mr. Hagman and others who participated in this. And this is a crisis in California. Obviously I've been through a lot of struggles to have to humanize situations. This is the most inhumane system I have ever seen. And I think in terms of recommendations, because, 30 seconds is not enough time, you all have a tremendous responsibility, and we will support you. We will organize. We will help to support you in trying to figure out how to stop this debriefing. This debriefing, policy is the most Kafkaesque, the most unbelievable secret system that has, as other people have testified, has no meaning. It has to do with, stereotyping. I with Carol Travis, I went up to Pelican Bay and interviewed 8 prisoners last Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday. These people in the shoe are some of the best and the brightest, not the worst of the worst. In fact, as a lawyer, you think of but for, when you are thinking about how somebody committed a harm against you, but for that person, but for their class, their ethnicity, growing up in poverty-stricken areas, not having access to good lawyers, you don't see too many rich white people in our prisons. I mean, so this shoe thing, though, is again, so bizarre, and I think you guys are going to have a huge problem in getting down to really what's going on, because there is such tremendous secrecy in this system. And I think that's one of the things that most worries me about. Even if you all come out with some good recommendations, and even we get legislation, who is going to enforce it? You can see the 2007 recommendations and stuff that's come out of the courts. Nobody has enforced this. And so, we have to trust our legislature. We have to trust our judiciary. But you guys carry a big burden, and we will struggle with Jerry Brown to do the right thing as well. But this is an opportunity. We have to do it, or more people are going to die, and a hunger strike will come again if you guys don't really, roll it out and get Mr. Kiernan and the CDCR leadership in order. Thank you.
Yeah.
My name is Linda Evans. I'm an organizer with All of Us or None, and I work at Legal Services for Prisoners with Children in San Francisco. I hope that today you have really heard some of these horror stories from the family members and people that have been locked up in the shoe. I hope it has touched your hearts, because if not, we are confronted with a steadily deteriorating situation in our society where people like us are forced to demand the right to be human beings. What does that say about our society, that is the message that we must put forward, that our people in prison are human beings? So I urge you to take very, very seriously your responsibility at oversight, and I hope that you will be creative in your determinations and your demands of CDCR. 2 specific things that I urge you to adopt. Number one, look at the Cal Gang database. Look at how that influences who goes to the shoe, who is actually validated on the street, how young people are being called gang members and put into this database with no exit strategy, no opt-out opportunity, on the basis of lies and deception. And that database is one of the fundamental reasons that people are validated as they enter the prison system. So for them to be actually labeled and racially profiled as teenagers or younger is what is creating this crisis in the shoe. Number 2, I urge you to find an independent review process so that all the men and women in the shoes have an opportunity for a true review, where you actually, a panel or whatever, actually reviews the validation packets and makes sure that these kinds of ridiculous reasons for validating people and locking them up for decades in a cage are defeated and reviewed. Thank you.
My name is Ursula, and I want to recount at least one story of a prisoner as he told me how his revalidation happened. He had 6 years with absolutely no write-ups. He had no gang activity. In fact, there is no gang activity in the Pelican Bay SHU. They all say that. He had perfect record. Nothing on it. On the day that the 6 year anniversary came, he had a final inspection. During that inspection, the guard that was conducting the inspection said, completely out of the blue, "Oh, I just heard you say you're still a member of the gang." And he turns to the guard in the watchtower. "Did you hear him say that?" And the guard in the watchtower says, "Yes, I heard him say that." And he gets 6 more years in the SHU. That is the joke. No one in there believes that the validation process is working. It is broken. For myself, I want to say that I hope that what we can start doing is, rather than paying CDC for violence, letting them increase their budgets because there is so much violence, that we hold them accountable for that violence, that their raises should be based solely on how much people are no longer committing crime.
Thank you, ma'am.
My name is Ron Onan, and I'm with California Prison Focus, and we get dozens of letters every week. We get hundreds every month that complain about these types of things. Mr. Kearney can say that there are safeguards. It's true there's an ombudsman, it's true there's an inspector general, it's true there are all the institutions that he mentioned. They do not work. If you listen to story after story after story, okay, and I read dozens of letters every month, and I'm looking at them, and I'm just like, I can't believe this is going on. One prisoner said, you know, if they put me in the cell next to a guy that they knew was a gang member, at least, you know, when they say they're going to give you a warning shot, the guards up there, they have in the towers, and they have rifles, they said, we're going to give you one warning shot. They didn't give me any warning shot, and now I'm 6 years in isolation. 6 years of isolation, there's no sociological, peniological study that says that 6 years is a good amount of time. None whatsoever. The system is totally being abused, but there is a rhyme or reason to it. You know what it is? We found out the guys that they are doing the false validations are the ones who stand up for themselves, the ones who stand up for other prisoners, the ones who put in the 602s, and the ones that help sue the system. Those are the guys You need to have transparency, and you need to create a whole new oversight.
I'm Joe Partansky, a former mental health worker in the U.S. Army and a senior supervisor at the San Francisco Multi-Service Center in the War on Poverty in the 68-69. I volunteered to be a pre-release counselor at San Quentin Prison at the time with a multidisciplinary team of people from the unions and people from the community. And I had some experience with this issue of prison activity. I, for the last 2.5 years, have been going as a member of the public to the California Council of Mental Offenders, and you folks in the assembly appoint the two of those members. I've never seen more than one or more members of this yourselves at these hearings, at these discussions, so that held monthly, every other month. I invite you to the next meeting of the California Council of Mental Offenders, which you appoint, Senator appoints, the governor appoints. It's going to be September 15th. At 10:30 at the headquarters of the Department of Corrections. Please, it's not this time, send somebody next time. California Council is one of the advocacy groups potentially. However, in the 2.5 years I've been there, I can remember a single mention of the SHU. That group advised the Department of Corrections, theoretically, one time advised the legislature, as well as the governor.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, my name is DeAndre, and I would like to speak to the heroic and courageous actions of the prisoner hunger strikers. But quite frankly, this hearing would not even have happened if it weren't for their actions. And the fact that they were able to win support from thousands of people around this country. And I'm a distributor of the Revolution newspaper, and we're proud to have spread this struggle. And through that, you have, I think, in your files, dozens and dozens of letters from people like Susan Sarandon, Cornel West, Mark Ruffalo, and other intellectuals around the world who actually are putting a spotlight on California. I mean, the country that goes around the world and proclaims itself as a leader of freedom and is actually a leader of torture. And in California, where a liberal governor was elected and has not even commented on the just demands of the hunger strikers, I have a word of advice. If California is going to maintain any credibility as being a place where human rights even are considered, something better be done. I mean, we honor the strikers because, I mean, as a member of Revolution Distributors, and which is put out by Revolutionary Communist Party and Bob Avakian, the hunger strikers have actually united many different groups which before had not come together. And we're working together very well, just like the prison hunger strikers went across racial and national lines to organize themselves.
Thank you.
This gives hope to people who look at the world and say, nothing can be done. Look what the hunger strikers did in the most isolated and draconian situations. They organized themselves, and that presents a whole goal and a way of doing that for the rest of society and the world. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Valerie, and I'm coming to speak on the three-point system. I have a 20-year-old son. His father is in the SHU. He has gang tattoos, and he is a documented gang member, and that started since he was 12. Therefore, once he hits prison, he's automatically going to go to the SHU, from what I'm understanding. So I would like that three-point system to be evaluated, and somehow somebody needs to check on that. It's not working. All the gang members can go to jail for what a regular person would be sentenced for 1 year, but because they are documented as juveniles, automatic 10-year gang enhancement. They have no chance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Deirdre Wilson. I'm program coordinator for California Coalition for Women Prisoners, and I'm a former prisoner myself. I'm really, really glad to have the opportunity to be speaking this truth today and have people really listening to have the opportunity to do this that was brought about by people willing to give their lives so that we could start to look under the rock of our prison system. And it's a really heavy rock, and it's going to take a lot of chipping away and a lot of light to get at the stuff that's under there. And I know from having been there, and I know that a closed system the way that it is can get away with a lot of abuse. I know that because I was in an abusive relationship before. I was in the abusive system and the criminal system, and they're very much the same. It's a huge thing to deal with, but if we can just look at these five demands, they make sense. And if we can't do that, if we can't do that little bit, bring that little bit of humanity to respond to that call that 6,600 people are willing to lay down their lives for, that I really wonder what hope we have for ourselves.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jay, and I work with Critical Resistance in Oakland, California. So I just wanted to emphasize a couple things. One, I don't know that this can be emphasized enough, but that something that Mr. Cooper is pointing out this morning, that some of the demands, particularly around long-term solitary confinement and gang validation, have been addressed in other states. And so there's really no reason why California can't make some of those same changes. The other thing that I want to point out is that I noticed that, you know, many, many family members and community members drove, you know, very long distances from San Diego and LA to come to this hearing, because many people feel that maybe this is the only chance maybe it's the one chance that they've had since their loved one has been inside that they've been able to talk to somebody where, you know, it might actually matter. And I noticed that Mr. Kernan, you know, when he was done speaking with you, he didn't stick around to hear the public comment. He didn't stick around to hear from the family members. And I really think that kind of shows, you know, where his priorities are. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Edward. I work for Homies Unidos, but I volunteer there in Aztec, right? I wish the shoe programs could have better condition. I've been to the shoe, and I see that people put, they look down on gang members. I was a gang member for 30 years, 18th Street, and today I'm not from nowhere. I just made that decision, but I believe in helping people, and I just came back from Uganda and Rwanda at orphanages, places where worst of the worst, and they always look down on people, but you can't look down. You should put down a somebody's character, not just judge a person of what he is. And shoe program, I experienced it. It is one of the worst experiences I ever had in my life. I lost my father, and I couldn't. They wouldn't let me go at the funeral because it was maximum security cordon. And it is what it is, but hopefully you guys will have better conditions. And I'm not a gang member no more. So I'm a Mexican Jew now. All right?
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Stephen Hopson. I'm a former prisoner from Oakland. I never been to the shoe, but I can imagine how it is because when I was in Quentin, and the first 30 days, you don't get no mail or nothing. And I like went crazy up in there, just even in population. So I can imagine how the brothers is in the shoe. It's crazy. It's insane. But they organized themselves to get this storm going on, to want you people here to be heard. And now I'm out here trying to help people. I'm with the UDPR, United States Medical Storm, trying to help. If I can do it, they can do it. If you put a dog behind bars and behind cage, he gonna go mad. What does that say to a human being brain? You know, this is what I wanted to read. In the case of the Pelican Bay shoe and other shoes in California, gang validation is being used to justify torture conditions. What the CDCR is saying that if someone is found to be a gang member, though these often arbitrary means, then it's okay to keep them in a 6x10 cell for years on end. Is it okay to feed them substantial food? Is it okay not to let them see the light of the day? Is it okay to deprive them of the touch of their families? What I want to know is, where does the rehabilitation part of the CDCR comes in? Since when does any act of justification or the ongoing torture of a human being? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker.
Hi, I'm Cynthia with the Prison Activist Resource Center, but not only that, I represent the LGBT community and the trans prisoners that are in prison. And I open hundreds of letters a week, and the only time a prisoner sometimes has a voice is with a pen, a piece of paper, an envelope, and a stamp. But I have this to say. The conditions at Pelican Bay have been characterized by the United Nations as inhumane and degrading. Pelican Bay was explicitly designed to break people, using long-term solitary confinement in conditions of extreme sensory deprivation. Shoe prisoners are kept in windowless 6x10-foot cells 23.5 hours a day for years at a time. Numerous people have been isolated in a shoe for 20 years or more. I'm urging you, the legislators, the representatives of the people of California, to hold the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation accountable and make substantial and lasting changes to the shoe conditions. And not only that, for LGBT LGBTQ prisoners and trans prisoners. There are a lot of victims of sexual deviant people, and if we were on the outside and they were on the outside, they wouldn't think twice about thinking that we were those people, and all we are beautiful people trying to live a quote-unquote normal life like you.
Thank you. I wish my life was normal. All right. Thank you very much. You know, just for your education, we did have a bill that was vetoed by the previous governor around transgender issues in prison. Unfortunately, it was vetoed. However, there are some federal guidelines coming down, and we're also going to continue to work to make sure that happens.
Thank you.
My name is Kamal, and I am a youth worker, a member of Critical Resistance, and the Coalition of Californians United for a Responsible Budget. I am here basically to thank everyone that has spoken before, to thank you for sticking around and listening to everyone and their different perspectives, and I'm also here to challenge you to see what actually comes of this. As we have heard throughout this hearing, there have been policies and suggestions made on how to change the conditions, and those have not been followed through on. So beyond going on to informational hearings and developing these proposals and suggestions, what are we actually going to do? We as citizens have come and done what we know how to do. We have lobbied, we have rallied, we have come to this hearing, we have given our testimony. There have been people, Julie Tackett, who spoke before, has been camped out at Crescent City the entire time during the hunger strike. There have been family members driving up and down the state of California. There are people here from New York and Michigan here to make sure that the voices of the prisoners are heard and that their humanity is acknowledged. So I'm here to challenge you and see what you are going to do, because you already know that CDC, and I'm not going to put the R in there because that is completely ridiculous to suggest that they have any means or idea or intention of rehabilitating the people that they have put in these cages for 23.5 hours a day. You know that they are not following through with the policies that have been proposed. You know they are not upholding their end of the bargain according to the Plata-Coleman case. You know that they are not doing what they are supposed to do. So the question is, what are you going to do? Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Liz DeWitt, and I'm also with Critical Resistance. I just want to say that changes to the gang validation and debriefing policies and the practices of long-term solitary confinement are not unprecedented and have been made successfully in other states, including Mississippi. Changes to these policies have reduced violence within prisons and allowed individuals to make a more successful return to their communities when released. We are urging you to review the changes enacted by other states and hold the CDC accountable for making similar changes in California. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker.
My name is Alejandro from Homies Unidos, LA. First of all, I'd like to thank all you gentlemen for actually giving the public time to debate about this matter. We have people that actually could bomb the Twin Towers, kill a lot of people, and yet a lot of them in Guantanamo Bay, they at least get to walk out of their cells from where this microphone is to that wall for whatever reason. Solitary confinement, the shoe, has effect on your spirit, and when you do get out, it affects you. And it really affects you in so many ways that your family, your wife, you know, they see something different about you. It's like the soldiers that go to war and come back a whole different person. That's the effect that the SHU program has. We have to just take it out. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you,
change is possible.
Next speaker, please.
Hello, my name is Marilyn McMahon. I'm with California Prison Focus. I'd like to just share some anecdotes with you. Some SHU prisoners can be dying of cancer. They can have come back from major surgery, and they're given no pain relievers greater than ibuprofen. Medical staff at Pelican Bay has said to prisoners in the SHU, if you want better medical care, get out of the SHU. Since the only ways out of the SHU are parole, snitch, or die, and many of them can't get parole, that basically means you're not going out of here alive unless you debrief. Well, the other method is they can go insane, and they'll be removed. A prisoner during the hunger strike had a very serious heart problem. He was rushed to an outside hospital, and when he regained consciousness, he was surrounded by guards pressuring him to debrief. He was almost dying, and all they cared about is they were going to try and get him to debrief on his deathbed. Finally, there's another SHU prisoner who has end-stage liver disease. And he was at an outside hospital. He kind of bounces between the prison hospitals and outside ones. And some number of months ago, he was at an outside hospital and told he had 6 months to live. He's estranged from his family, and the doctors talked to him about that and said, you know, it's really time to bridge that gap. Talk to your family. You don't have long. He thought about it and decided that was right, and he did want to talk to his family before he died. So he requested a phone call. They don't get phone calls. But he requested one. Let me talk to my family once before I die. And the request was granted. So on the day that the phone call was set up, a guard came to his cell. He was all ready for that phone call. And the guard held a piece of paper up.
Oh, wow.
Where he could read it. And the piece of paper said, debrief. He refused, and he didn't get that phone call. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Next speaker, please.
My name is Amanda Perez. I'm with Adelante from Los Angeles. I want to thank you, Assemblywoman Mitchell, for asking the question. And I was surprised that he didn't have his numbers together. When you asked him how many staff have been killed or injured, it would be interesting to find out how many were injured or killed prior to the SHUs being built. And since they've been built, how many have been injured or killed since its safety and security? I also want to say that $77,000 per inmate multiplied by how many thousands, how much money are they bringing in? Is it profit versus people, human beings? So I'm hopeful that in the next hearing that there are some numbers to be shown, and we're hopeful that this legislation will do something different versus the other hearings. Otherwise, I really feel this has to go to the UN.
All right, thank you very much. Next speaker, please.
Hello, good evening. My name is Angelica Camacho, and I'm currently a graduate student at UCR. I just wanted to come share some information because I know there was concerns about budget and spending, and I want to really urge the legislature to look into AB 900 once again, which just granted billions, not millions, billions of dollars for prison construction. Meanwhile, education, social services are being cut. And I also want to bring to your attention that just to keep Pelican Bay open, it has an annual budget of $180 million, just Pelican Bay alone, not the other 32 prisons that exist in the state of California. And just by shutting down Pelican Bay and sending them to the general population, that would have been enough to avoid the fee increase in the UCs and to avoid the firing of a lot of people and the loss of a lot of jobs. So I really want to urge you guys to reconsider what really is a threat to our public safety. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, please.
Hello, my name is Teresa Amen, and my son has been in the SHU for 8 years, and he has a daughter that is graduating next year, and what she would love is to be able to talk to her daddy on the telephone when she graduates, or have a picture of her daddy when she graduates, and she's preparing this a year in advance. And my son was supposed to possibly get out of the SHU this month. Well, he has had 2 falsified reports that has just happened, and he can tell already that they're going to do everything in their power. He will not get out of the SHU. And in the meantime, you know, my granddaughter was 3 years old when she got to swing with her daddy in the main line and play with him, and Now it's behind glass over a phone, and we take turns to talk because we only get to use the one telephone. And we have an hour and a half, and we drive 14 and a half hours to have a Saturday and a Sunday visit. So I just appreciate whatever you can do to start helping these men and women in the SHU and to stop this nonsense, because there are some innocent families and children and all of us loved ones that would just like to see things right. You know, less prisons, more programs. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, please.
Hello, my name is Sel Ortiz, and I have a loved one in Tehachapi SHU. Currently, I'm undergoing studies for criminal justice. My pursuit was correctional officers. I refuse to be a part of that. I'm sorry. Every story I've heard that came out his mouth, I do not want to be a part of it. I've looked into law school now just for the simple fact that I want to defend any man that's in there that is wrongly accused of things that they didn't do. I'm not saying my loved one is innocent. No, he apparently did something to end up in there. But to deserve a SHU term, and now he had a date to come home, but now it's indefinite. It's like, are you going to keep him there forever? Is that the money that you want? Because if it is, I mean, the day they walk in through those gates, they have to choose where they're going to go. They should be gang validated the day they walk in.
Okay.
Point.
Thank you. All right. Next speaker, I believe this will be the last speaker, and we'll conclude. There's more? No, this is it? Okay.
My name is Chito. I'm from San Diego, California, against the system. And I'm just here because to watch Kern just pretty much decide that it's pretty much on the CDC on how long these guys are going to get in the SHU. And it's pretty sad that somebody like me, no criminal background at all, just because I'm all tatted up, can easily be classified as a documented gang member. Sad.
Thank you very much, sir. All right, that will conclude public comment. I want to thank my committee members, and Ms. Mitchell has a comment before we adjourn, and maybe Mr. Knight.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to say, remember during the public testimony, someone acknowledged the fact that the undersecretary had left. I just wanted the public to know that there are CDCR staff who are here who I'm sure are taking notes and will be reporting back to him. So I want you to know that you have been heard by the department.
That's good. That's good.
And probably will wind up on YouTube. You know how it is. So. All right, I look forward to the next year. Thank you all very much.